Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So today, Donald Trump signed an executive order declaring a national emergency and prohibiting U.S. companies from doing business with telecom services that are solely owned, controlled, and directed by a foreign adversary. And this is, I guess it's pointed directly at this Huawei company, or however you say the name. Because look, why would we be selling telecom stuff, especially for our military, to the Chinese government? It just makes so much nonsense to me. And this whole trade situation to me is something I've been talking about for years on this program. And it's literally shocking to me that there are so many people who are crying that the tariffs are going to raise prices. Well, you know what? You know what the massive job losses in this country have done? It's destroyed the most prosperous working class in the history of civilization. We've given away the most powerful manufacturing base and given it away. It's not that, you know, we lost it in competition. It was given away. It wasn't stolen. It was given away because we're, well, idiots. And while I'm not a Trump supporter, in this situation, I think the blind squirrel found a nut. And that's why I've asked Brett Caldwell to come talk with us. He's communication director with the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Brett, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me.
You know, I look at this situation, and I'll tell you, I'm surprised at the number of people who have come out and, you know, and I think it's just the knee-jerk reaction that Trump has done it, and we've got to be against Trump, so we're against the idea of somehow rebalancing this bad deal we've got with China.
Well, I think that's part of it, but we've also seen both parties play to corporate America over the past 25 and 30 years on the issue of trade, and they have turned a blind eye to the impact it has had on the industrial heartland and workers across this country and the decimation of our manufacturing base in order to look good abroad and to build what they believe is necessary for the global economy. And it's on the backs of American workers. The decision to put tariffs on China is not only targeted at China, but it should be targeted at these global corporations that are abusing workers across the world, you know, taking advantage of a lack of environmental protections and all the regulations that we have in the United States in order to lower prices and suck jobs out of America and then sell it back to us and make us grateful that we can pay, you know, 20 cents less on a T-shirt at Walmart than keeping good jobs here in the United States.
Yeah, you know, I've often said that, you know, cheap exploitable labor and lax environmental regulations, basically that's the heroin of the CEO class. You know, it's their drug. They can't seem to give it up because, you know, I look at this and I can't imagine that what they have to deal with in China, the intellectual property theft, the massive subsidies that the Chinese government gives to their competitors. And oh, by the way, them not being allowed to own anything in those countries. I can't imagine why the smart people who run these corporations would ever have agreed to any of this stuff if the heroin of cheap labor wasn't so strong.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And we see it not only in China, but you see it in Vietnam, in the Philippines, in Sri Lanka, and, you know, I mean, just across the world, anywhere they can go to find cheaper and cheaper labor, they will. And I submit, and Jim Hoffa submits, that if you, that Americans are willing to pay more if we produce it in the United States, and workers will earn more. The reason that workers have to go so cheap on purchasing things is because wages are stagnant.
Yep.
And the reason wages are stagnant is because we don't produce anything anymore. We have retail jobs, service industry jobs, and we need to produce more in order to get those wages up so people can pay a fair wage for a good product.
What do you say, Brett, to the person who goes, well, you know, we're never going to be the textile country. We're never going to make furniture in North Carolina. We're never going to make, you know, tires in Akron, Ohio. Glass in Toledo is a thing of the past. You're never going to recreate that manufacturing prowess of the 1950s. What do you say to that person?
Well, you're never going to do it if you don't try, one. And two is we have to bring some semblance of manufacturing back to this country. Yes, it may not be what it was in the 1950s, but what it can be is, you know, bringing the jobs back here to produce things that people were willing to buy and pay a good for good product, good workmanship, and understanding that it's made in the United States, that we're supporting our neighbors, that we're supporting our communities. You know, when these plants close, it's not, you know, it's terrible enough that workers are losing their jobs, but it decimates communities. I mean, you know this as well as anyone. You've been on this fight for decades at this point, and that, you know, when you travel this country and you go to Ohio and you go to Illinois and you go to Indiana and you go to Michigan and you see these towns, you know, there are no more grocery stores. You know, the school districts are in bankruptcy. The impact on communities, the police forces are decimated. Everything is decimated because the job, the good jobs that the tax bases rely on are gone from this country. And look, Jim Hoffa yesterday went on MSNBC and he went on PBS, and the host of those shows, you know, progressive hosts, were sort of couldn't believe their ears that this is the message that the Teamsters have, because they're so opposed to anything that Donald Trump does. And, you know, in the whole scheme of things, they're globalists, that, you know, even though we're a progressive organization fighting for worker rights, they're just astonished that we think our members are willing to pay an extra few dollars for good American-made products. And that's where the disconnect is.
Yeah.
The sort of the limousine liberals, the elite left, they're missing the fact that working people are not being paid attention to, and that's why Donald Trump is president. We know that.
Yeah. But let me ask you the other side of this, because, you know, there's also the part of me that believes that, you know, we look down on work. We look down on people who work with their hands, and that, you know, we don't want those dirty jobs anymore. We all want the corner office with the white shirt and the tie and all that. And we don't need any of that, because I hear this a lot. Well, we don't want that low wage manufacturing back. I go, yeah, we want manufacturing back. And even if we're not going to get back what we've lost, it's the future manufacturing that I'm concerned about, because we were told, you know, we're not going to do the injection plastic stuff anymore. We're not going to make the cheap, you know, the cheap widgets and whatnots. It's the future. It's aeronautics. It's robotics. It's telecom. It's all this stuff. But if you look at the China 2025 plan, they're going after it in the same mercantilist ways that they went after the auto parts, and they went after tires, and they went after everything else that we've lost over the last 20 years.
Well, and that's 100% right. And so the question becomes, when will we have nothing to produce? When will we have allowed them to produce everything? And so we are a 100% service-based economy, which is not sustainable. And when they decide to turn the spigot off on us, because as you said in your introduction, these are not our allies in the world economy. And, you know, I've traveled to China as part of the first American labor delegation to go with Jim Hoffa about 12 years ago. We met with dissident labor leaders in Hong Kong at the time. We met with Chinese leaders in mainland China at the time. And let me tell you, they put labor leaders in jail. They put workers in jail for speaking up on the job. This is not, you know, we can't act like they're an equal competitor. That it's a completely state-sanctioned, state-run economy. The workers, like you said, there's no land ownership. You can't imagine the control that the country has over its corporations and its workforce. And so it's not equal footing. I mean, look, we're talking about putting tariffs on $500 billion worth of goods. They can only put tariffs on $100 billion worth of U.S. goods because it's a 5-to-1 deficit.
Right.
And so, you know, if it was 250 to 250, we wouldn't be having these problems. But they're going to continue to suck out every job out of the United States that they can, technological jobs, high-end manufacturing jobs, low-end manufacturing jobs. They're going to do everything they can to get every single job to China.
Yeah, they've surpassed us as the world's largest economy by lying, cheating, and stealing. I mean, it's that simple.
Absolutely. There's stories of, you know, of a GM plant being built in China as part of a state program there. And then, you know, the American executive going over and seeing a car that looks just like the one they're producing. And they find out that they've replicated the plant across town. They've stolen the technology. They've replicated the plant. GM ends up shutting down. but they're still producing the same cars.
Yep. No, I mean, the intellectual property theft is a huge issue. And the other thing that we haven't talked about, and I've heard almost nobody talk about, is the currency manipulation. I mean, I remember Donald Trump on the campaign trail saying day one, he was going to label them as a currency manipulator. I mean, I think that's a huge part of this as well that nobody's talking about.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, and the fact is, you know, again, we've been talking about this for a long time. I mean, 20 years ago this November, we were on the streets of Seattle opposing China's entry into the WTO. You know, in 2000, 2001, we were fighting permanent normal trade relations with China. We've been saying since day one, labor has been the one voice out there saying, like, these guys don't play fairly. It's going to kill the American economy. And, you know, and we've seen it bit by bit by bit come true.
So let me ask you the other side of this, because, again, you know, how do we reach the Democratic voters? I mean, I'm looking at the presidential candidates, of which I guess there's now like 7,000. And, you know, I saw Joe Biden, and I guess I'll put you on a spot here for a second. Joe Biden came out the other day, said China is not a problem. I think I have a problem with Joe Biden if Joe Biden doesn't think China is a problem.
Well, look, we're gonna talk to all of the candidates. You know, some of the candidates have been good on trade. Some of them haven't been as good on trade. You know, we've got a long process to go through. You know, the Teamsters are not going to jump out in an endorsement. We're going to follow a process and figure out exactly where the candidates are. And obviously, trade is a top three issue for us, and it's something that we're going to pay close attention to. But again, the point is that, you know, NAFTA came under Bill Clinton. The open border, the cross-border trucking under NAFTA was opened under President Obama. I mean, they're not always doing the right thing when it comes to trade. It feels like oftentimes, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, you don't want them to travel overseas because they're going to give away something through a trade agreement.
Yeah, good point.
And, you know, and that's been happening for 25 years, regardless of what party's in office.
No, I agree. So, but I think that comes back down to our education system. I mean, I took economics at two different periods in this country's history, back when I first went to college, back in the middle 80s, and then again, you know, early 2000, I took a course. And they were teaching it kind of differently. You know, free trade was great. You know, rice and beans, everyone does better. And the reality is I look at the rice and beans analogy, China's holding all the rice and the beans.
Well, and the issue is, you know, people often say that you know, the unions are only worried about protecting our jobs. But the point is we want to keep good jobs in America. And the way you do that is by making sure that the jobs in these countries through these trade agreements are improved for the workers there too. Because
right.
It's the workers, the corporations and the nations like China and Vietnam and others are taking advantage of these massive workforces and paying people a pittance and making, you know, these extraordinary profits on the backs of these workers. If we had a little more sense of evenness in our trade policy, then we would actually raise those workers and put Americans back to work. And that's the goal. This is not a protectionist trade policy. It is a policy looking for fairness. And I think that gets mixed up with a lot of folks. I think we're not saying there shouldn't be trade. What we're saying is, like, let's, in order to make it more fair, make sure you're raising the standards for workers everywhere, including the United States.
Absolutely.
And right now, you know, workers overseas are not being, their lives are not improving. And, you know, we know through our decimation of the middle class and wage stagnation that workers here's lives aren't improving.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, back when George H.W. Bush fully negotiated NAFTA, and of course Bill Clinton put his name on it. I remember, you know, they were saying it's going to, you know, rising tide, all boats going to lift up, and it's going to be great. We're going to do better. They're going to do better. And there was only one crazy little guy with big ears saying, "No, I don't think that's going to happen." And
giant sucking sound.
Yeah, and you know he was right. And look, the labor movement of the time was saying the exact same thing, and yet we've been educated, I guess, to believe that, you know, this magic of free trade is going to make us all better off. And the reality is, it hasn't. Now, if we had a policy that, you know, you made people's lives whole who will end up getting screwed by this, maybe we could talk about it. But for too long, what's happened is these big companies, they walk away from communities, they walk away from the country, and they profit mightily and end up leaving, you know, basically empty shells behind them.
Well, and that's it. I mean, you know, we're hollowing out, you know, the heart of America. I mean, when you talk about jobs that people don't want anymore, jobs that, you know, there's always this criticism on the immigration issue. They look, well, they do jobs that Americans don't want. And my answer to that is they do jobs that Americans aren't willing to do for that low of pay.
Right.
And, you know, so we need to raise the pay. We need to make these jobs livable wage jobs. And so it's the same kind of thing when it comes to manufacturing and when it comes to this whole process. If we're going to hollow out every good paying job other than, you know, the white collar and the, you know, the corporate elite sitting in their corner offices, then we're going to be left with nothing. You know, and we're seeing that right now in the changes, in some of the changes in our education system where, you know, people are starting to understand, like, you know, having a trade is a good job. You know, if we need electricians, we need plumbers, you know, we need truck drivers, and we need to treat them right. And the way you do that is respecting the work that you want done and respecting the people who do it.
Absolutely. Last question I've got for you, because obviously this is going to be a major policy fight. You know, how do you see this thing playing out? I mean, there are a lot of people who are, you know, the hair is on fire. The sky's falling. All the prices are going to raise. We're all going to be starving. How do you see this playing out in the coming days and weeks?
Well, this isn't going to last forever. I mean, that's first of all, I mean, I think everybody's got to understand. There's, you know, too many corporate elite that are going to be impacted negatively for this to last forever. I think I and the Teamsters believe that it is the right move in order to get China to be serious at the table, because they haven't been. And so we got to level the playing field. I don't think it'll last that long. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means a month. I don't know if that means 3 months. But we're going to get through this, and hopefully we're going to get through it by getting China serious at the bargaining table.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we cannot continue on the path that we've been on with these massive trade losses, and obviously, you know, with the dollar being the reserve currency, them literally buying us from within, that cannot continue.
100%.
Brett, I appreciate the time and the thoughts. I'd love to talk to you again as this continues.
Anytime. Thanks, Rick.
Good stuff. Brett Caldwell, Communications Director there of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. And look, they're spot on. I mean, look, the reality is we cannot continue this on and on. Just can't do it. And at some point, even if it is Trump doing it, and look, not a Trump fan, even if it is him, it's got to be done. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around.